Well, welcome everybody. Glad that you're here. We're going to get started. Grab a seat. All right. We're so glad that you're here. My name is Justin Hare. I'm one of the clergy, one of the three amigos here tonight. This is my friend Brian McGreevy. And we have a special guest, Andrew Odell, over here. He's one of our fellow clergy at St. Philip's. We're so glad that you're here. If this is your first time, I'll explain a little bit about what we do. First of all, we're thrilled that you're here, but we kind of have a recorded podcast where we talk for 15, 20 minutes about various topics. We've talked about faith and work and friendship, anxiety, all these sorts of things, and I'm really excited for tonight. Whoop, that was turned up. We're good. But what you'll need, you'll see these pieces of paper around the room. These are really important because you can scan this QR code at the top, and you can submit, in fact, we really encourage you to submit any question that you want at all. Doesn't have to be related to the topic that we're going to talk about tonight. It can be about anything, and it's anonymous. If you see other people's questions on there that you really want answered, go ahead and like those, and those will come up to the top. And then I haven't actually asked, is, where's Savannah? Is she here?
I'm here.
Savannah, would you be willing to moderate the questions? Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're brave. I just put you on the spot. That was like one of those times that, what are you going to say no to that? Like, so thank you. But Savannah has been kind enough to moderate those questions, and she'll ask us. It's a lot of fun. So tonight, I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about ancient practices for modern living. Ancient practices for modern living. Also known as a much more daunting title, the spiritual disciplines, which may turn a lot of people off to why that is. But what are the spiritual disciplines, and why would we talk about that tonight?
It's a great question. So, is this on?
Yeah.
I can turn it on, maybe. Okay, so I'm just going to keep talking. There it is. All right, so spiritual disciplines are practices that are usually associated with the ancient church, the medieval church particularly big on these, the church fathers big on them, but there are things like systematic ways of reading scripture, things like solitude and prayer, silence. There are any number of them, different kinds of lists of them, but they are intentional practices that are often related to, in the ancient church, a rule of life that people would live under. And the interesting thing about them, sort of the paradox of spiritual disciplines, is that they're a way of committing yourself to doing things that brings order, and ultimately they're designed to give you more freedom to be who God has really called you and made you to be. That by investing in these disciplines and practices, you become more truly yourself, and lean more and more into the kingdom of God.
Yeah, I would just add to that that it's no coincidence that the word discipline, which we tend to think of in a negative sense, like someone got disciplined for being naughty, but the word discipline and the word disciple have the same root. To be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, part of that involves taking up disciplines in your life. That's how we grow in our faith, how we grow in our relationship with God, as Brian said, how we put ourselves in a place for God to shape us into the people that we were meant to be, the men and women that we were meant to be. I think all of us, maybe if we're being truthful, we all know there are things about us that either we don't like, we feel like, you know, there's something about me that's just not right, or there are things in here that I know that I'm not proud of. God wants to come in to begin to heal those things and to bring us to a place of wholeness. And so those disciplines, again, as Brian said, put us in a place to receive the gift that God wants to give us.
And I think one of the great metaphors for spiritual disciplines is to think of it as being kind of like when you're in training for a sport, that when you are, imagine you decide that you want to be really good at basketball. And so you've decided that in your head, but you never pick up a basketball, you never go on a basketball court. You may occasionally watch some basketball on TV and think you're like getting some moves from that, but if you don't like actually go out and dribble and try to make layups and all of those kinds of things that are part and parcel of what it means to play basketball, you don't ever really experience the joy of playing basketball because it's just like in your head. And our spiritual life can be kind of that same way, that we think we want to follow Jesus, we define ourselves sort of as Christians, but we're not doing any of the things that facilitate God's power being able to manifest in our lives.
I think that picks up on and the idea of what these are. These are practices that hopefully are going to give you power. That is what you're looking for, to grow stronger. And that analogy is so good, Brian. I like the idea of any sport, whether if it's a sport, if it's music, like you've all done something where you've had to practice and get better at it. And the whole point is to develop a new power, a new source, to actually do something that you weren't able to do before. And so I think sports are a great analogy of that. Like if you start out, you're normally not very good, and it takes time to begin to all of a sudden have it come more naturally. And so part of the spiritual disciplines, I think, are we know what we want to be, but all of us, if we're honest, we know that we're not there. And so this is one of the things I think is kind of interesting, is a lot of the folks that I deal with, college students, young adults a lot, and both in and out of the church, people are stumbling upon these things that they're like, wow, this is so new. And you're like, actually, it's 1,000 years old, that these ideas of like, hey, you should take a day off, or like you should find points during your day to rest or to meditate. Like these things are being stumbled upon by people because they're bringing a fullness to their life, and they realize that the way life is going right now is not working well. And I think so the danger in talking about the spiritual disciplines is, and I'd love to hear what you think about this, but on the one hand, just exerting your own willpower to become a better person, to be stronger in yourself. And I don't think that's what the spiritual disciplines are for. But the other thing is, like, discipline being such a negative word, that it has all this baggage that, you know, the Christian life should be all about freedom and Jesus and all that. And so any sort of smell of like discipline is like legalism. It's, you know, we don't want to do that. And there's a sense in which that's right. Like the gospel is not about how Christianity is not about how good that we are and striving in our own effort to do the laws and the will of God, but actually receiving his love and receiving his mercy, because all of us, if we're honest, have fallen short of that. Like life is not going the way that God's designed it. And so the question of the spiritual disciplines is now, okay, receiving the grace, how can we actually begin to change?
Can I jump?
Yeah.
No, get right
okay. Down. Well, my wife Ellen, some of you have met her before, but she has, for all her life, she's loved growing things. She loves to grow plants. There are always tons of cuttings all around the house. We're constantly knocking them down because they're in every windowsill, every crooked nanny.
Cook and granny.
We lived for a time in a little town called Darlington, South Carolina, just about 2 hours up the road, and we had a great big yard. And she said, I had this whole big section of grass, and I'm the sort of the mow the lawn, that's like my job in the relationship. And so I'm taking care of the lawn. And she's like, I don't want this to be lawn anymore. I want this to be a garden. Now, I was very resistant to that because I'd sort of come up with my, you know, this is how I'm going to mow it, and this is how I mow it. It takes me this amount of time. But she wanted me to surrender that patch of ground so that she could grow things in it. Now, there are all sorts of things that we had to do to get the soil ready. We had to first till it. We had to amend it. In other words, we had to add some things that weren't in the soil. We had to begin pulling out weeds. But none of that, my wife cannot make the plants grow. She couldn't bring forth the tomatoes. She can't do any of that. All she could do was prepare the soil so that it was ready for the plants, what in and of themselves they can do. The analogy there is, just to pick up on what you're saying, is this is not so much about, you know, gritting your teeth and I'm going to make myself a better person. It's not about the work you can do. Really, it's about surrendering the patch of land, doing some things to till it, so that God can come and bring about this growth and this healing in you. He's the one who's going to do the work. He's going to bring forth the fruit. But yes, we have a role to prepare the soil, to tend the soil, And that's kind of what the disciplines are. So, yeah, it can be easy to fall into the trap, and I've certainly done this. So again, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to do this. Well, it's more about surrender, learning how to surrender in ways that God can come and do the work. So,
yeah, I would say that's exactly right. And I think another way of saying that same thing is that, for example, if you had decided 6 months ago that you were going to run in the Cooper River Bridge Run, and you registered and everything, but then you never ran because you kept saying, I'm busy, I don't have time to run. And then the date of the bridge run had gotten here and you tried to do it, it probably would not have been a very enjoyable experience for you. And a lot of what spiritual disciplines do is they help us to make space in our lives to be able to hear from God and for God to be able to work on that soil of our lives. Because most of us live in what one author calls a state of routine panic, that we are, you know, just one thing away from everything just falling apart because we're running in so many different directions, trying to cram so much into our lives. And spiritual disciplines are about a deliberate choice of slowing down, of emptying some space in order for God to be able to fill that space. And when that happens, one of the things I love in Samuel Lewis's writing is that when you make space for God, he says, the incalculable may happen. Mm. And I think that's exactly right. We have no idea what God might do because we haven't made the space for him to be able to do it.
Yeah, all that's so important because it's easy to approach it as I'm just going to change my own life, and if, you know, willpower typically only goes maybe a week at best, depending on how strong your willpower is. But in both of what you're saying, it's all about God, who is the one who changes our lives. That we don't actually have the ability to do that. And the spiritual disciplines are what theologians have called means of grace. They're opportunities where we can experience God's grace. And as Andrew said, we're just surrendering ourselves to this. So the whole point isn't just doing these things for the sake of doing them. Like, there's a way to do fasting, prayer, study, all the various spiritual disciplines that we can talk about, and it be completely devoid of power. Mm-hmm. And what we want is, I heard this analogy, basically, like the spiritual disciplines are like a trellis. And the point of a trellis is not so that the vines are all neat and tidy in a row. The point of a trellis is to produce fruit, which is going to produce wine. You know, like, think about it's the point of a trellis producing these vines that are going to produce ultimately the fruit of a nice wine. What we want is this relationship with God. And it's really easy to do all of these actions and things and have it be devoid of this communion, this fellowship, this friendship, relationship with God. And so it's really, yes, it's nice that we get to change, but we also are going deeper into the source of what, I mean, Jesus says that he is the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so we get to experience more of that abundant life through these disciplines. One of the things I wanted to ask both of you was, in your own experience, I mean, it's really easy to keep all this very abstract. So the best way probably going forward is, tell me a little bit about your own experience with the spiritual disciplines. Are there maybe one or two that you have felt most enhanced by, things that you really benefited from, things that you want to really grow in? Let's start with your... Yeah.
Well, I grew up in Mount Pleasant, so just over the bridge, and was very blessed to be parts of churches where they had great youth groups with great retreats. And I can remember, really, as a young teenager, it was impressed upon me, and somehow in my teenage brain I took it in, how important it was to set aside a time, even if it's 15 minutes every single day. And I think the first thing I would offer to you all is the importance of setting aside some piece of time. That's the time that you're offering to God, a little patch of grass that you're offering that he can make a garden out of. So that's one thing, is just to have that anchor of time. At this stage of my life, I have children who are older. My daughter's in college, my son's in high school. But they know in the morning when the door is closed in the room where I sit down, unless it's an emergency, nobody comes in, because that's the time I'm spending with God. And ultimately, they know that that's going to be time that not only blesses me, but that blesses the whole family. So putting an anchor in, finding some time. If you're a morning person, I suggest you do it in the morning. Get up just, you know, 15 minutes earlier. Or if you're an evening person, maybe it would be in the evening. The second thing I would say is it does need to include some kind of reading of God's Word. And I'll just say I have been through all different kinds of seasons in my life, and I don't know what kind of season you're in right now. Maybe it's a season where you just need a little piece of scripture and maybe somebody has written a little reflection on it to help you think about it. Maybe you're in a season in your life where you're ready. And I would not, this is not a place to start, but if you have already been in this kind of pattern where you say, okay, yes, I think God's calling you to read through the whole Bible in a year. That's a very different kind of reading. You're reading more for volume. Right now I'm in a stage of my life, I had been reading the Bible in a year. Now I just read just a little teeny piece of scripture and spend some time meditating on it. But I would say the two things are the anchor of a little bit of time every day that's God's time that I've offered back to Him, and number two, finding a way to include reading God's Word so that I can hear Him speak through His Word and then through the time of just listening.
Prayer. What has been, so, I mean, I've, one of the things I wanted to do is just, we haven't even said what the spiritual disciplines are in some ways, and so before I hear what has been maybe helpful in your own life, let me just say, like, this is a book plug right here, The Celebration of Discipline. It's a classic. We have a bunch of books up here. We encourage you to come check them out, but Christian meditation, prayer, fasting, studying of scriptures, the idea of solitude, service, simplicity, corporate worship, all of these things are kind of resting, you know, Sabbath. Those are spiritual practices. Now, so I just want to at least say that, but what of those maybe have been most helpful to you in your life?
Yeah, so that is something that I was really fortunate when I was growing up, when I used to go to Camp St. Christopher starting when I was 8 years old. There were times in the way the camp schedule was set up where there were times of silence and there were times of doing worship together. There were times of scripture study and discussion. And I loved camp, not just because I loved the people and the place, but there was something about living on that kind of rule of life sort of schedule that really, really resonated with me. And then when I got to college, like Andrew, I really had impressed on me the idea of having this quiet time in the morning. And so I incorporated that with some scripture reading and prayer. But one of the things in recent years that has really been a source of great joy of leaning into more was, a lot of y'all know I am really interested in Lewis and Tolkien and the Inklings. And one of the things I've always been fascinated by is how is it that this small group of people did all of these amazing things and wrote these amazing books. And a lot of it, I think sort of the untold story, when you really dig deep, they were living under kind of a rule of spiritual disciplines. One of the things that a lot of people don't know is that once Lewis became a Christian, he went to worship every morning, like every morning, for the rest of his life. Tolkien did the same thing. They were very regular in these disciplined times that were focused on spiritual matters and also really committed to walking with friends, which is not a classic spiritual discipline, but I think actually is a spiritual discipline. And it's amazing to see how out of that commitment to those disciplines, and time, they also would do time in monasteries and things like that. When you see the fruit that comes out of that, which if you want to read about that, little book plug, this is a great book that will help you know more about that. This is another great book that is called The Common Rule that you've heard us talk about before. And just the idea of going back to some simple things like beginning each day, the moment you wake up, fall out of the bed, onto your knees, and pray for just a few minutes. You don't have to pray some long, convoluted, full of polysyllabic words kind of prayer early in the morning, but just committing yourself to Christ anew And that posture of kneeling, there's something powerful about beginning every day in that way. And silence is another thing that I think is really important. It's a great Mother Teresa quote that says, we need silence in order to be able to hear in our hearts. And I think what she's getting at is that we can't hear God a lot of times because we're making so much noise. There's this quotation attributed to St. Augustine that says, God is saying he wants to give us good things, but our hands are so full that we're unable to receive them. And I like to think of spiritual disciplines as being a way of emptying our hands a little bit to make space for the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's so good. I think for me, you know, I'm sensitive wearing a collar up here and everybody thinking, you know, you guys have it all together, but, you know, I can't do all that. And so what I love, to be honest, like, this is all very new stuff to me. I went to a seminary where I was taught the Bible, and I was taught how to teach that, and that's kind of it. But then in terms of caring for my own soul, I've had to kind of pick that up in the last, you know, 5 years along the way. And there's a difference between that. And so for me, one of the things that has been really helpful is this idea of Lectio Divina. It's an ancient way of reading the Bible. I am super analytical. I love reading things technically and that sort of stuff. But being able to actually have it, the difference between maybe like study versus devotion. Meditation being this whole point of what he says here is the difference between, this is Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. And he's talking about meditation is devotional, study is analytical. Meditation will relish a word, study will explicate it. And the point is that for me, I had probably a really strong ability to be able to know things in my head. But then when you actually talk about what was in my heart, what I was feeling, was a huge difference. And so this idea of, you know, Lectio Divina was this way of reading the Bible. A, it was with other people. And you read the Bible slowly, which was uncomfortable because our culture doesn't go slow. I didn't go slow. And it's the same thing with silence. Like this book is called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And that's why people in our culture are drawn to this idea of silence and solitude because it's so foreign. And that can be true in and out of ministry. And so for me, it was slowing down to actually not just know more about Scripture, but have it actually change my heart and hearing from God in a personal way. And so the Lectio Divina, you read through with a group of people, you just read the passage once, have a period of silence, you read it a second time, and you're asking a very simple question. God, what are you highlighting for me in this? Then you have silence again, and you read it another time, slowly each time, and then you're saying, why did you give me that today? Those were things that I had no clue about in seminary, and I knew from cover to cover the Bible, but then my own soul was drying up, actually doing ministry. And I think there's a lot of people, not in ministry, but any vocation, that maybe know a lot, but really want to have a deeper relationship with God. And so that was one of the practices that helped me. Do y'all have, I'm curious if you have something that really challenges you in the spiritual disciplines, something that you want to grow in?
I would say one of the ones that I would love to grow in that at the times that I've done it has really been amazing is in the Book of Common Prayer, there are these very short liturgies for morning, noon, and evening. And there is something that is just powerful in those. And taking the time to actually do that day in and day out in the times that I've done that has been amazing, but it's amazing also how your life keeps getting in the way of being able to do that. So that's one. The other one that is something that sometimes I've done, but right now I'm not being very good at, is every 3 months doing a half day retreat of silence, kind of thinking about questions like, how is my spiritual life now versus the last time I did this? Am I growing? Am I falling away? What's helping me grow? What's helping me fall away? What do I need to get people to pray for me about? You know, those kinds of things. That kind of reflection, I think, is really important.
Yeah, we don't slow down to reflect so often.
Yeah.
How about you, Andrew?
Well, and I'll answer the question, but a point I just wanted to make, you talked about how I think there is a hunger for this because many of us are anxious and very busy and very hurried, and that's the culture we live in. And what I've discovered, you may have discovered this as well, is that people are looking for this. They don't realize that the Christian tradition has this rich tradition of spiritual discipline. And so they end up going down maybe a path of Eastern religions or Buddhism or maybe even sort of New Agey kind of stuff. And maybe you've been down to those paths as well, but what we want you to understand is that, that these things are not foreign to the Christian faith. They're part of the earliest traditions of the Christian faith, this meditation and quiet and so on. But I would say right now, I mean, I'm a person who is, I confess I'm prone to anxiety. And so right now what I'm really pressing into is the discipline of slowing down. I mean, my whole life people didn't tell me to slow down, but really trying to slow down and be conscious of what God is doing in me in the moment. And it sounds so cliche-ish, I'm just working on being present in the moment, because I'm always thinking in the future, and I rob the gift of this moment that God wants to give me.
Yeah.
So what about you?
Yeah, that, I mean, boy, I feel a lot of the same, Andrew, and the way our world works is it prizes production, it prizes what you can do and achieve, and if you're going to put in the extra hour or two or 10 a week, like, you'll get promoted. And the idea that actually seeps in even into Christian ministry, if we're honest. I mean, and we all feel that. And so what's crazy is the Christian church has this wonderful freedom of saying, that's not who you're meant to be. That's not who you're valued to be. And it's okay to just be. And so for me, I think silence, one of the things I've wanted to do for a while, and COVID kind of hit and I haven't had the opportunity to do it, but it was to go on a silent retreat with and take some folks to do it and try to learn how to do this together, not just diving totally in, but let's try and explore what that is. Because, again, it's just so countercultural to, I mean, it's terrifying, if you're honest. Like, it's like, gosh, a whole weekend of not talking, or maybe splitting it up and just doing a whole afternoon, like, it just is daunting. But there's something in my heart that recognizes, like, that's a better way of living than being valued in, like, my profession and my career of how much you can do. And I think that's what people are recognizing in and out of the church, is that, like, yeah, that it isn't sustainable. I've said this before. Your body keeps score, and anxiety and depression are the inevitable things that come out when you live in that way that the culture says. So.
And I think one of the things that is so related to this is that joy is something that should really characterize the Christian life, and that there is oddly perhaps a counterintuitive relationship between the spiritual disciplines and joy, because when you are making these spaces in your life for God, Jesus said, I came to have life, that they might have life and have it abundantly. And that's all caught up with this idea of joy. And when you are stressed and hurried and not feeling like you can live according to your priorities, you are not going to have joy. And when you open up to these spiritual disciplines and practices, joy will steal up behind you and surprise you.
That's good. Well, we are already way past our time. Just because, I mean, we can talk about this for the rest of the semester, really. But I'm curious if we've got any questions that have been asked already. If not, go ahead and please do submit some of many. What's that? Okay. Yeah. We can keep going for a couple minutes too, and just keep calling. You have something you want to say? Yeah, go for it. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
hey. Crazy. Okay. So one thing I want to emphasize for you all is is that the Father wants you to understand that you matter to Him and that you are precious to Him. And so, so much of this world conspires against you knowing that. And so that's what these disciplines can help you to do.
I just want to throw out another discipline that I didn't mention, but simplicity. Is one that hit me this week as I was prepping for this. Was like, man, you know, my wife's expecting in like 4 weeks, and I'm like, well, I need, you know, we need this and that and this and that, and like, what you think you need, by informed by, you know, our world around us is very different. Like, we live in 950 square feet, and we're about to have a 5 in there, and it's actually, if we think about it and slow down, like. I'm complaining about that, and yet most of the world would see that as like a really big house, you know, and that is more than enough space. And so I think that is one of the disciplines that's kind of like, I didn't realize that was a discipline until this week as I was preparing for it, is that the idea of simplicity, and that
it
too
connects to gratitude.
Yeah, it connects to gratitude and contentment. Fasting is that same thing. You know, we didn't even talk about fasting, but the whole thing that happens when you fast is you realize all this stuff, really who you are. Jesus says, like, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you deprive yourself of food for a period, like, who you really are in your heart starts to come out. And you start to realize, wow, all of this is deep in there, and the amount of control that we wanted to have. And so contentment and joy and gratitude, these are the sort of things that I keep hearing as I'm learning more about them. And I think that's what all of us want in some ways is... and it's so easy to talk about it, but one of the things we've said already is the importance of doing it and just trying to start, you know, and not having too high, lofty goals, whether it's whatever discipline it is, but just taking that next step and trying it and doing it with a friend or two is really important.
Yeah.
How are we doing, Savannah? So somebody looking to start spiritual disciplines, where should they start?
So I would just jump in and say that the first thing is just start with a time of day that you're going to commit. So this is the time. And whatever arrangements you need to make that time, you know, available to the Lord. I would begin with, if you are literally starting from zero, I pick a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Why not start with Matthew? It's the first one. Read a chapter a day. Sit down in a place in quiet where you're not going to be distracted. I would suggest you probably put your phone away. I would not read the Bible passage on your phone. I would put your phone in another room. Have a book, you know, the old-fashioned Bible. Begin with a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to me. I want to hear you speaking for me this day. Read the chapter and just sit in quiet for a little bit. And then read it again. And see if anything jumps out. If it stirs up any particular prayers, you could offer those up to God. And then an ongoing prayer would be to imagine that Jesus is saying to you, what would you have me do for you today? Jesus was confronted with a blind man and was calling out to him, and people were trying to keep the blind man away, and finally the blind man was brought to Jesus, and instead of Jesus just healing him, Jesus said to him, what would you have me do for you? So I would encourage you to hear Jesus speaking that to you, offer those prayers up, and then thank him for the time and then move on. So set aside some time, make sure you're not interrupted, put your phone somewhere else, read the chapter, we'll begin with prayer, read the chapter, and then... at that time of prayer, and imagine Jesus saying to you, what would you have me do for you?
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. I think the other thing with whatever, if you're just starting out, I think the most important thing is consistency, more than length of time. Sometimes people start out and think, oh, I'm going to like get up an hour early every day. That is probably not realistic. I mean, maybe y'all are like super self-disciplined, and you could get up at 5 a.m. tomorrow and like just do that and it would be awesome, but in case you're like me and that would never happen, maybe finding 10 to 15 minutes every morning or just whenever in the day it can fit can be really good. I think reading in the Gospels is a really good thing to do. There are also some other really good devotional guides that may be more the flavor for some people that would work. Something I started doing a couple of years ago that I'd never done before is having my prayer time early in the morning after the fall out of bed one, but the later one after I've gotten dressed and everything. I just go and stand outside and pray for somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes. And there's something about standing outside and hearing the birds and feeling the breeze and the sun and all of that that just changes your perspective on things. So that might be a good way to start as well.
I'm going to say, just add to that if I could, and this will be simultaneously helpful but a little bit challenging. The reality is we're all different. And the way that God's going to meet you is probably going to be a little bit different than the way I communicate with him. I mean, here Brian and I have had, there's some similarities in what we've said, but there's some differences. I mean, I could love this idea of being outside. It never even would have occurred to me, really. But part of that probably is, I mean, I would probably enjoy being outside, but part of that is because God has made Brian a certain way, he's made me a certain way, and he's going to meet us where we are. Mm-hmm. So part of this is a little bit of kind of discovery, like...
Right, figuring it out.
Yeah.
It's interesting you said that, because I think the place where I was, obviously reading the Bible is probably like the best place to start for any of these. I mean, there's lots of different ones, service that you could, all these things that you could do. Reading the Bible is the definitive place where we hear from God. Mm-hmm. And that's what we really need. If we can't change ourselves, if we need God, we need to hear from him every day. And that would be certainly a place to start. It's interesting to me that a lot of the folks who've stumbled into the spiritual disciplines mm-hmm. do so for different reasons. I mean, mm-hmm. It's because the way they were going stopped, it wasn't working. I mean, this one, mm-hmm. The introduction to this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, he's talking about how, essentially, he was a type A overachiever, and then all of a sudden, he just had burnout. And so I would say, take an audit of your life. Where are the places you're experiencing the most anxiety and the most fear? And then consider what practice might push against that and reform you, maybe. So, I mean, if you're greedy, if you really struggle with, I want to accumulate a lot of things, and that's really what's pushing you a lot is, okay, I need to find this house, I need to do this. Like giving your money away, a practice of charity, would actually be a really good place to start, I think, perhaps. If you are overwhelmed with work and you feel just these places that are bubbling up in you where you feel like there's the most anxiety, taking a day off a week, it sounds terrifying. It's probably the place you should start. So taking an audit of your life and finding those things.
Mm-hmm. So that was a great question.
Yeah. I don't know what Headspace is. Do y'all know what Headspace is?
I don't know the app, so I don't know how it works. I don't know. There may indeed be elements of it that that you could sort of learn, but at the end of the day, what we're seeking is to hear from God. I mean, this is not simply me meditating, like navel gazing, but I want to hear from the Lord. I know the Lord has a word for me. The Lord wants to speak to my heart in a way that this world can't speak to my heart. Because my heart's broken. I don't believe I'm a beloved child. I need God to get in there and tell me that. And so if there's not some part of hearing him through his word, because the word begins to reshape the assumptions of my heart, the word pushes back against the assumptions of the world, that conspires against us from hearing that God loves us and has a plan for us and wants to reform us and heal us. So I guess I would say, again, don't know the app. Maybe there's nothing bad about it, but I guess I would say, if there's some good things you can take from it, take those things and devote that time to include a little bit of hearing God from his word as well.
And the other thing I would say about that is there are some apps that are out there. There's like a Lectio Divina app, believe it or not.
Yeah, I've got a good
contemplative prayer app.
And so there are some good apps, but I would also say I would be a little careful about approaching a spiritual discipline through the medium of your phone, simply because many of us struggle with being overly addicted to our phones. And I think there's something that's very freeing about having your spiritual discipline time be in a space where your phone, it could be exploding with weather alerts and news and everything else, but you have it so far away that you can't hear any of that.
I'm so glad you said that, because there's the ancient spiritual disciplines. This book, The Common Rule, that's actually one of the more modern disciplines, and that might be a great place to start, is just putting your phone away. I mean, that's come up a few times. Both of you have said that. I can't do anything because I'm so conscious of it. Like, if it's in my vision,
yep,
I'm now thinking. And so when I'm trying to do work, when I'm trying to actually have quiet, it can't be in my line of sight. Yep. And I've noticed anxiety when it's not there because I'm thinking about it. That's it, just honestly. Like, so I'm so glad you said that, Brian. One of the things I will say about meditation is that there's, you know, mindfulness. I know that's one of the things. I don't know if that's what Headspace is, but this idea of becoming more in tune with what you're thinking and who you are, that's good. But Christian meditation is fundamentally different than like Eastern meditation, which is all about emptying your mind. Christian meditation is going back to filling your mind with who God is. And that relationship you talked about, meditation is applying and making it personal, this relationship with God. And it's really the opposite of trying to empty everything out of you and just become clear-headed. That may be good to try and clear out some stuff, but you need to fill that with who God is and what he says about you.
And to be healed.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great question.
How do you practice spiritual disciplines with another person?
Oh, that's such a great question. Practicing spiritual disciplines with another person, I think, can be one of the most enriching ways of doing that. And it's also a great way to be accountable so that you actually do it. I've done that a lot with other people. And so when I was talking a little while ago about doing those every like 3 months, sort of taking a half day, a lot of times I've done that with another person. Like one time we went to the chapel at St. Philip's and we agreed we're not gonna talk for 4 hours, but we were gonna pray and think and journal. And then after that 4 hours, then we would share what we had thought about and then pray together. That can be a great thing to do. Another thing that you can do is if you are deciding to launch into reading scripture, get one of your friends who might be interested in doing that to read the same thing on the same schedule as you, and then pick one thing out of it that meant something to you and share that each day. So, you know, those kinds of things can be really life-giving practices that help you be simultaneously more invested in your walk with God and the disciplines and more invested in a deeply spiritual relationship.
Yeah. It's such a great question, because I think that, you know, you can't fudge it with somebody else there, you know? Like, if you're doing it on your own, like, I'll be like, oh, I'm doing my time, and the TV's on or something like that. But I would say, okay, how do you do this with other people? You be honest. You be vulnerable about it, and there's no judgment. There's just, here's where I am.
Yeah.
And if somebody says that to you, what a joy and privilege that is. But to have that with somebody and being honest, A, that's so good for that relationship, but it's also really good for your relationship with God, because now any pretense that's there that you might have in your own mind is stripped away. And so it really is kind of like two birds with one stone. I think it's going to help your friendships, will also help your relationship with God, just to be honest. And then you can actually grow and see the growth in other people too. So I would say honesty and authenticity.
And then you won't do like my college friend that said he had the goal of being in the Word 30 minutes every day, and he put a sign on his bed that said the Word, and he would go lie in his bed and he could honestly say, I was in the Word for 30 minutes today, but that is not a spiritual discipline.
And two, I would say, just kind of highlighting the differences. I mean, when I was in college, I mean, I could not study with other people. I don't know, my brain, I'm an introvert. I can only study by myself. I remember this person, a friend asked me to study with him, and I said, oh, sure, I've never done that before. And I didn't know what to do. But, you know, Brian, who has been enriched, I mean, it's wonderful, and has been enriched by, and it's not to say I couldn't benefit from this, but it's just interesting how he's naturally come to those things, and it just wouldn't have even occurred to me. But I will say this, you're going to have different patterns. So there's a daily pattern, but there can also be, whereas I've not done what Brian has done on a daily pattern, I have been in weekly Bible studies where we get together, we read the Word together, we talk about it together, and man, like, people hear stuff, it's like, it's cool, because, like, you know, people come from all sorts of different perspectives, and, like, what they hear, I didn't hear, and their insights, and so that can be a different way. It's a weekly thing as opposed to a daily thing, or an every other week. So they're different patterns. So that would be a different way of entering into spiritual discipline with other people.
Yeah. Good. Thanks. Next.
So I know we've touched on this a little bit, but I'm just going to combine a few that have similar themes. So a lot of people have expressed just being exhausted after a day of work or just feeling honestly kind of lazy. How do you kind of practice prayer in a disciplined way? What tips do you have for that?
So how do you, people who are feeling exhausted or lazy after a day of work, how do you grow in practicing the spiritual disciplines in that way?
Yeah, kind of keep that habit.
Yeah, I think that's a really real question. And I think part of it is pushing yourself to go forward. It's kind of like the same way when you're doing athletic training, it's easy to kind of give up. And I was thinking about, as we were coming over here tonight, I had a really exhausting weekend because I was doing a gloriously wonderful wedding up in Columbia, but I needed to come back after a really fun reception Saturday night in Columbia and be at church Sunday morning and then go out with my 91-year-old mother for a 3-hour lunch after that. And then we had 6 house guests coming Monday, and there was this service of choral evensong that I'd been wanting to go to, and I thought, I don't have time to do that, and if I go, I'm going to fall asleep. And then I thought, you know what? I need that. I need to go and just be in that space, and I know, and this is the advantage of being old, I know that if I make myself go, it is going to be a huge blessing to me. And so even though I was yawning in the car on the way over there, I made myself go. And I'm so glad that I did that. So I think part of it is helping, putting in front of you that it's going to be worth the cost and that God can redeem that time. If you honestly come saying, God, I am really tired and exhausted, but I want to give this time to you. Would you meet me here? That can be a very effective prayer.
I'll say this too. This might be. God is relentless in wanting a relationship with you, and so He makes Himself available to you. But it may be that for some of you, it might take a complete disaster.
That's right.
To get you to a place where you are going to give that time to Him. And I just say that matter of factly, and you know, I've had my own share of disasters, so it's not a judgment. But the reality is, yeah, sometimes we overcoming that, the exhaustion or the laziness or whatever it is, sometimes it just takes a catastrophe in our lives. And then, because God's going to do whatever He needs to do to open a relationship with you, He's not going to stop. He's relentless. I do remember one book, the title of which was "Too Busy Not to Pray." And the point of that title is we think we're too busy to pray, but when we realize that God wants to meet us there, when God begins to meet us there, then all of a sudden we realize, oh my God, I don't know how I live without this. Now that may not happen instantly, it may take time, but there will come a time if you enter into those disciplines where you realize, man, I'm too busy not to do this.
Yeah, that's kind of the two analogies that come to my mind are like, we live off of, you know, spiritual junk food or like emotional junk food, that sort of thing. And like, so if you're eating, you know, popcorn and candy every day, and then you're like, that's not going to make you feel good because your body's not designed to do that. And then if you're like, gosh, I'm too tired to eat healthy, so I'm just going to keep eating, like, it's just going to keep enforcing that bad
eating
habit.
You got to break the cycle.
You have to actually break the cycle. And that's the weird thing. So the other analogy was like, if you're starting to exercise, which I've done on a number of occasions, I've started trying to do it, and you, like, I don't know why my daughter runs and actually enjoys it, because I find it absolutely terrible. But you do this, and people, so it's like, wow, okay. So you start to run, and you don't know why you're doing this, and you go, and the first, like, week, it's just miserable. But by, like, the second or third week, your desires begin to change to where all of a sudden now you long for it. You want that. And that's, I think, kind of what we're doing with the spiritual disciplines is we want all of a sudden, yes, we're tired, but it's actually the things that are really going to bring us life. And we could go all into, okay, what does rest really look like? And I don't know if we've actually done that before, but, you know, rest doesn't just mean vegging out, you know, on Netflix, as tempting as that is for me to do, but to actually do the things that bring true restoration and life to you. So you see your desires begin to change over time. So it's hard, but that's why community hopefully can help you. That's why you have workout partners, I guess. You know, when you have somebody who's doing it with you, it's far easier than if you're just setting out to try and do it yourself.
Yeah. One practical thing, if you are doing it in the morning, if you are a coffee drinker, I mean, this is a micro discipline that leads to a larger discipline. But I don't allow myself to drink my first sip of coffee until the Bible is open, until I'm in the place, until I'm ready to hear from the Lord. So, again, it's a... Yeah.
Wow.
but think about it, though. But what
hardcore.
I've done... but if that's the little agreement you make, that I'm not going to have coffee until I'm in that place, all of a sudden, then those two things kind of... They enforce each other, and the coffee obviously helps with the brain, but it's, you know... I put those two things together and have for a long time. So
that's good.
Anyway,
we got time for maybe one more. I'm curious. This has all been about spiritual disciplines, but you can ask anything.
Can
you know.
Can I give a last one that's kind of funny?
Yes.
Sure.
Please.
Okay. Last question. I've Reverend McGreevy. Lewis or Tolkien? You're on a desert island and must pick only one. Who do you choose?
Oh.
Sophie's choice.
You just broke him.
Oh. It's so hard, but I would have to say Lewis. Yeah. I'd have to say Lewis. It would be against my desires to only be able to do one, but I find the thing that would make me go to Lewis rather than Tolkien, even though both of them are so amazing and you should totally read everything either of them ever wrote, is that Lewis is much more direct when he's talking about God and spiritual things. Tolkien is more indirect, and there's an infinite amount of beauty in the way Tolkien does that. But I think when you're on that desert island, you're in kind of a place of desperation, and the clearer answer is maybe better in those circumstances. And I'm just going to throw out one of the things I was fascinated with. I don't know, maybe y'all already know this, but Alex Haley, who was famous back in the 70s and 80s, African-American writer and filmmaker, asked the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that question: what book would you take other than the Bible if you had to be marooned on a desert island for the rest of your life? And we could have a lot of fun guessing what it was, but his answer was Plato's Republic. Hmm. So if you've never read Plato's Republic, consider that a book plug.
Wow. We didn't bring it, but that's a good one. I didn't think about that.
Do you want to point out about the mailing list before we finish?
Oh, yeah. So glad you're here. We do have a mailing list because we do this every other week, not every week, not every 4 weeks, but every other week. And so we'll do this again in 2 weeks. You can join by just scanning that code at the bottom and putting your email in, and we'll send you updates. We send out takeaway sheets and that sort of thing periodically. So love to have you on there if you want to. But really appreciate you coming out. This has been a great time. Feel free to hang out. I'm going to go up there, I think, because it's nice out now. Yeah, we have our own, whoa, the whiskey room. Please do. Kyle's been super great tonight. Like, we say this a lot, but please do drink up and tip well, because we're super grateful for the folks at Henry's for letting us do this, because we couldn't do it, and this is a fun place. So thank you, guys.
And one last plug before we go. A number of people in here have been showing up on Wednesday nights for the Lewis class we're doing on the abolition of man, which is sort of a hard sell if you don't know that book. It sounds really depressing. But it's actually fascinating and really relevant material. So if you find yourself wanting to connect with some folks over some theology on Wednesday night as well, 7 to 8 o'clock at St. Philip's Parish Hall right around the corner.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, guys. And we'll stick around. Happy to answer any other questions or chat a bit.
Yep. So. Thanks for coming. It's great to see y'all.